Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So in our reading this morning, our gospel reading, we have John's account of the calling of Jesus' first disciples. And with... It's kind of John's thing that he does it differently than everybody else. You've got the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They tend to follow a certain path. They tell the same stories. John does it entirely different. So for example, in Mark's gospel, Jesus walks along the lakeside and the first four disciples just sort of drop everything and follow immediately. That's their call story. But in John's gospel, most of the disciples come together by word of mouth, by the witness of others. So other people sharing what they've seen and what they've experienced is what brings people to follow Jesus, with the exception of Philip. Philip has that kind of immediate call where he just drops everything and goes, like in Mark. So in John's account, Jesus' first two disciples were originally disciples of John the Baptist. And it's John the Baptist who bears witness to Andrew and the unnamed disciple. The baptizer, he sees who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. And he shares that. He proclaims that to his disciples, and then his disciples go to see for themselves. And after they do, Andrew then goes on to witness to Peter, his brother, and Philip, who got that direct call from Jesus, he goes on to bear witness to Nathanael. So it's this bearing witness. It's this sharing what they've seen and what they've experienced, followed by an invitation to the next person to come and see for themselves. That's how discipleship happens in John's gospel. And also, John's not really that hung up on the whole 12 disciples thing. In fact, he never even lists 12. He just talks about disciples. And that's why Nathanael, who we never hear about in any of the other gospels, he's one of the first. He's one of the first that John lists as a disciple. So throughout John, discipleship is much bigger than that first core group of followers. It's all those who came to know and came to follow Jesus. Also throughout John, this idea of bearing witness is really important. Later on in John's gospel, we have the story of the Samaritan woman who bears witness to her entire village, and because of her witness, the entire village is brought to faith. So that's how it happens in John. And also for John, that's what it means to be the church. Those who witness, those who share their experience and invite others to come and see for themselves. And I really love that. I love the idea that the invitation to come and see is what we are about. The role of the church is not to scare people into submission or good behavior, or force right doctrine down people's throats, or any of the other dominating, conquering approaches that the church has taken in the past, and that some churches still use. That is not the way Jesus did it. Jesus invited people to come and see, to come and experience what he was about. And that's what the disciples did. They came and saw for themselves what Jesus was about. And then their lives were changed. They were changed forever by what they saw. So they then invited other people to come and see. And on and on and on. And it grew. And that's what we are called to be as the church. A group of people who have experienced God's love and been changed by it. So that our lives, who we are and how we treat one another, becomes an opportunity for others to see and experience God's love. As the church, we are called to invite others then to come and see for themselves, to come and participate with us and be a part of this life-giving love. That's discipleship. That's what we are called to. Now, along with inviting people to come and see in these call stories, Jesus also tells the disciples something about themselves. Jesus shows them that he has this knowledge of them and of who they are. With Nathanael, Jesus names him as an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. So Jesus already knows something about his heart upon first meeting him. And then with Peter, Jesus says, "You are Simon, but you are to be called Cephas," translated as Peter. And a lot's been written about that line, particularly the fact that Peter means rock, and that Peter becomes the foundational person for the church that's to come. And that's a really cool wordplay, and it is definitely present here in the text. But I read this beautiful sermon by Nadia Boltz-Weber that focuses on that line, that you are Simon, but you are to be called Cephas. And I loved what she had to say about it. Pastor Nadia sees this line as an indication that Jesus sees and knows and calls all of us, all of who we are, who we have been, Simon, and who we will become, Peter. And Peter is a great example of the grace in that, because Peter does not always get things right. In fact, I would say Peter's kind of known for not getting it right. He's this character who is zealous for the Lord. He desperately wants to do right by Jesus, to follow Jesus, and yet again and again he misses the mark. He gets it wrong. And in all of that, Jesus loves Peter and accepts him and calls him as a disciple. In her sermon, Pastor Nadia talks about Peter's extreme loyalty. When Jesus offers to wash the disciples' feet, right, and Jesus is going around that night before his betrayal, washing each of their feet, and he gets to Peter, and Peter says, no, I can't let you do that. I'm not worthy of that. And Jesus says, if you don't let me do this, you really don't understand what I'm about. So Peter flips a switch and says, okay, yeah, wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head, all of it. He's this extreme character. Peter thinks that he is loyal to the extreme, that he is willing to die for Jesus. He goes as far as to say exactly that. And in the garden, he even cuts some guy's ear off to try and protect Jesus, right? To step forward and defend Jesus. Again, missing the mark, not really understanding what Jesus is about. Jesus was not happy about that ear thing, right? But then when things get really real, Peter the disciple doesn't not step forward and defend Jesus. He goes so far as to deny even having known Jesus. Not once, but three times. Peter is all of those things, right? He's the guy who sees Jesus and wants to follow him, and he's the guy who gets it wrong. He's the guy who desperately tries and jumps in with both feet, tries so hard. And he's the guy who fails and falls short. And in all of it, Jesus loves Peter. And as Pastor Nadia points out in her sermon, Jesus even chooses to keep Peter around after his betrayal. After the resurrection, Jesus comes to Peter and gives him the chance to proclaim his belief in Jesus three times, just like he denied Jesus three times. Jesus never gives up on Peter. And I loved her insight into this because it's such a beautiful statement of what it is to be called as a disciple. It's not a call to perfection. It's not a call to always get it right or always do it right. Jesus' call on our lives is perpetual. We get to try again and again, just like Peter. Even when we get it wrong, Jesus does not give up on us. And I find that extremely comforting. And it's also a comfort to know that we are truly and completely known by Jesus. Jesus says to us, just as he said to Peter, I know who you have been, and I know who you will become. I know all of it, and I choose you. So whatever it is that we don't like about ourselves, whatever we dread or fear about ourselves, whatever we're ashamed of or don't want anyone else to see, God sees. God sees all of it, knows all of it. God sees and knows who we are. All of who we are, who we've been and who we will become. God sees and knows it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And God loves us anyway. God calls us anyway. The invitation is still there for us, for all of us, and for all of us. Jesus sees us and knows us and invites us to come and see, to come and experience God's love. Jesus invites us to come and see and be changed by that love, so that through our lives, others may come to see. Thanks be to God. Amen.